Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
History in 5 songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Hello, once again. Welcome back to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcasts. Check out all our music shows. Just Google away. There's lots and lots of great music content at the platform. And let's go with this. I'm pretty proud of this episode. I think this turned out really cool. I'm calling this Celebrating Snare Drum. So this is episode 232, Celebrating Snare Drum. I named it that very specifically. I didn't want to put Celebrating the Snare Drum. This isn't about, tech and hardware and stuff. Although, I'll mention a couple things about that. But this is just a Celebrating Snare Drum in various categories the way I do this. So why are we doing this? So this is actually really cool. So, essentially snare drum to start off with, it's the center of a drum kit. It's kind of the most important thing. It's pervasive throughout a song. It's something that you can do a lot with. You can play with brushes. You can turn the snares off. You can do rim shots. There could be grace notes. There's rudiments. So that's the other thing about snare drum is, as a drummer, it kind of brings back the fondness of when you first started drums, because in a lot of cases, you start with a snare drum. A drummer, his first lessons, if you're going to go through formal lessons, are rudiments on a snare drum. Even before that, maybe even a drum pad or whatever, but it's kind of the first thing you get. Anytime you're doing something cool on a snare drum, it's kind of reminding you of when you were a kid, sort of thing. Snare drum's really important on an album. The other big thing about snare drum is in the recording space, it's pretty much the most important thing on a drum kit. Drums are very challenging to record, where mic placement, how many mics do you use. Bass drum's important, but snare drum is probably first. So probably go snare drum, then bass drum. Toms is something that's played more occasionally. Cymbals, you want lots of treble, you want lots of bass and all that. But snare drum can be recorded in various ways. You talk about having lots of reverb on it, or being wet or really tight. You can have a really tight high snare drum sound, or you can have, the big that snare drum sound. You can have a completely electronic sound. What you don't want to do, this is kind of interesting. I might have mentioned this before, but just talking with Devin Townsend, we're working on, I'm working on my Judas Priest panel book, and he brought up something pretty interesting about production. And he was talking to a producer who said you don't want to break that fourth wall. And what he meant by that, this producer explaining this to Devin, and he thought this was a cool idea as well, is you don't want anything in the production to distract you and cause you to be thinking about that all the time. And snare drum is a really important one that way, because it's always going, right? It's always on that 2 and 4. It's going throughout the song, right? So you've got to make sure that your snare drum isn't distracting, because there are, famously, the Metallica Saint Anger snare sound is very distracting, right? Which brings us to a couple things about snare drum. So on that album, there's that feel that the snares are turned off, sort of thing. And when you turn off the snares on a snare drum, so the way a snare drum works, right, you've got two heads on a snare drum always, whereas on tom-tom, sometimes you got two heads or one head. But on snare, you have two necessarily, because there are these, how many are there? Six wires, I guess, can vary. But wires underneath snares that are tightened up along the bottom. So when you hit the top head, the bottom, those wires bounce against the bottom snare, right? And then you've got this this tension little knobby that you tighten up, and sometimes you can have the snares partially on, so you get a really sort of lasting sort of snares drum, or super tight on there. Of course, it matters how much you tighten the skins and stuff as well. You've got the likes of a marching snare, which is about 12 inches thick. You've got a standard kit snare, orchestral snare, with 6 inches thick. You can have a piccolo snare, 3 inches thick. Drummers talk about their snare drums the way guitarists talk about their guitars. It's the most important part of a set, you know, in terms of gear that, again, they have a nostalgic attachment to. Famous snares by Ludwig or Premier or Gretsch. Less so Gretsch than, you know, Ludwig and Premier. People talk about their celebrated hallowed snares. Like I say, the same way you talk about guitars, kind of thing. So we're going to celebrate this in different categories. I want to talk about iconic snare drum intros first. So let's kick this off with our first track here. This is Gillan with "I'll Rip Your Spine Out." Right, the great Mick Underwood, love this guy, master of the snare drum fill, but intros as well. So this is an amazing intro. This is the first song off of their Double Trouble album, so this is the second to last album Gillan ever did. Crushingly heavy song. Love this album to death. It's got a lot of cool stuff. Again, the typical Gillan kind of sweet and sour melodies and the demented keyboards of Colin Townes and all that kind of stuff, right? But yeah, this is a good heavy song, and here you get a classic Mick Underwood sort of intro. You know, when Gillan recorded, they were very dirty and boomy, and you get that in his snare drum sound. He loves the snare, right? So he loves doing a lot of fills with snare. But this is kind of, you really get the taste of what his big boomy, you know, kind of wet reverby snare drum sounds like. I almost went with my other favorite iconic snare drum intro. Well, there's two, right? Another big iconic snare drum intro is Cozy Powell on Lost in Hollywood from Down to Earth. To me, that intro to Lost in Hollywood is literally my favorite playing by Cozy, although, you know, you might go with the intro to Stargazer as well. But he likes his snare as well, and that's a beautiful sort of very rapid single stroke roll sort of intro to that. Max Webster "Oh War" has a great kind of a military, because it's a war song, so there's a great sort of military snare sound going on there with the legendary Gary McCracken. Rush "One Little Victory," so Neil Peart here. This is kind of like a complicated, weird, loopy beat, non-obvious sort of beat. It kicks off the album. You know, this is like the Neil is back on Vapor Trails, so Neil gets kind of a solo to kick off the album, and snare is very integral to that. You've got The Clash with Tommy Gunn, "Our Band Torque," in 1984, 83, whenever that was, played that song, and that has the... the big snappy sort of intro, more of like a punk rock snare drum intro there. Speaking of punk rock, Boomtown Rats, "Looking Out for Number One," has the rapid fire, almost like hardcore punk fast single stroke roll. Rush, "Jacob's Ladder," you got the military stuff going on there. "Countdown," same kind of thing, camera eye. So here's Neil going back to his roots, going back to his fondness for Rudiments. So doing that kind of thing. The other super iconic snare intro is Led Zeppelin "Rock and Roll," right? With that extra weird little uncomfortable beat in there before the song kicks in. Always trips people up. Drummers, well, it's the drummer's responsibility, I guess. But so, yeah, drummers especially. I'm sure it's tripping up who's got to jump in. It's like, where do I jump in with this thing? Because it's got that weird little extra half little pause beat sort of thing in it. Vibrators, "Automatic Lover," and "Petrol" both have that same "Looking Out for Number One" sort of they're two different ones there. Actually, one's more of a Tommy Gunn, one's more of Boomtown Rats there, but yeah, another intro. Another one that's kind of similar to I'll Rip Your Spine Out is the Angel Can You Feel It, the great Barry Brandt, right? You know, he's sadly wasn't able to drum in recent years. He's kind of arthritic, right? Yeah, that's a great big, you know, this is from On Earth as It Is in Heaven. It's recorded by Eddie Kramer, and he tends to quite often have big, noisy drum sounds, and this is a big, noisy drum sound. Again, it reminds you of the I'll Rip Your Spine Out situation. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Give It Away, the intro to that. Plus, it's got fills, and it's got, this is another example. If you go listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers, Give It Away, you get an example of what a high, tight snare drum sounds like. Motorhead, Snakebite Love. You know, you've got kind of this is a same sort of thing that you get from Mickey D is very he definitely loves using his snare a lot. There's a lot of cool snare combinations. Offspring, Nitro. This is a long single stroke roll thing again. Some of these examples, the Motorhead and Offspring, I want to thank Mick Phelan for coming up with some of these. You know, I had asked him the question. He brought up a few that I kind of had to go and play and see why and where, what category I'm going to put them in. So that's pretty cool. So thanks to Mick Phelan for those two. Metallica, The Struggle Within was also suggested by Mick, and this has the marching snare drum intro, so the same sort of conservative kind of like you know, military sort of thing. Also, Don't Tread on Me, snare and toms combination. Master of Puppets, you know, I almost went with a whole category of Lars Ulrich because he loves his snare fills, right? He really does a lot of his fills on snare. It's almost too much. I mean, you listen to 72 Seasons, same kind of thing, right? But yeah, Master of Puppets, that first intro fill is a really cool rapid fire snare thing. But now he's gone more for the slower single stroke roll snare thing, and it's almost to the point of distraction because it is very snappy and high in the mix sort of thing. Nazareth, Silver Dollar Forger, kind of has that same sort of thing. You know, this is an interesting one for snare because what you have going on with Silver Dollar Forger is you have when the great Dan McCafferty is singing, the beat kind of straightens out and it's a more regular beat, but it's got this intro thing which is more of like a marching pattern where he's playing snare on every beat to go along with it, sort of like a not shuffle, but because this is very regimented, but it's actually used in shuffle a lot that way. Anyways, let's take a short break. We'll be right back. All right, back again here, episode 232, Celebrating Snare Drum, History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff. Let's take a listen to our second track here, and we shall discuss. This is Led Zeppelin with Poor Tom. All right. Love this song. This is one that goes through my head all the time. And as a drummer, you're always tapping out songs all the time when you're idle, you know, on your desk or whatever with your pen or your fingers or whatever. But Poor Tom is one of those because this is, so the category here is snare beat. This is literally where, you know, snare is a big part of the beat, the skeleton of the song. And Poor Tom is a great example of that. This is on Coda, right? So this was not on any official Led Zeppelin album before the compilation. But yeah, the whole thing is, you know, there is bass drum going along with it as well. But the whole thing is kind of like a really cool military snare beat. That's actually, it's a little tricky to keep super smooth and super groovy, right? But of course, John Bonham can do anything, right? But in this department as well, there's a history of the, you know, the golden earring radar love beat. So that's sort of your military snare beat carrying the whole thing. And then that's picked up again. There's sort of like a lineage of that to something like a Motley Crue Kickstart My Heart. And in between, a sweet ballroom blitz as well. Sort of thing. Actually, that's kind of around the same time as Radar Love, isn't it? But anyways, Ballroom Blitz, you know, that's one you can picture in your head. That's a total, you know, you hear basically just a nice groovy rolling single stroke roll from Mick Tucker there. And then Mick does it kind of again with action. You get just a really nice sort of grace note-y sort of beat from Mick on Action, which celebrates the snare as well. And then a part of this lineage again, all of this Radar Love, Kickstart My Heart, Ballroom Blitz, you get it again with Kiss You Wanted the Best, right? So that's the same sort of thing where you're, you know, it's basically the Ballroom Blitz beat in there. So snare is very important. XTC, Here Comes President Kill Again. Here we've got, it's a kind of like a big anti-war politics song, so you get a military beat in that one. Baby's Too Far Gone is part of the lineage of this snare beat thing too. Here, our band played this one as well, oddly enough. Yeah, subtle grace notes here, snare, march, shuffle, so you get a little bit of a shuffle feel. It's a little bit tough to do if you want. See, these beats are a little tough to do if you actually want to play a lot of snare drum on them. But if you smooth it out and go to the straight beat, which again, something similar, you can hear this graphically in Nazareth Silver Dollar Forger. You hear the difference between the two, in succession sort of thing. So that's a good one to check this out. The Damned, Stretcher Case. So there you got a constant single stroke roll going on there, driving the whole thing. So there you go. That category was snare as literally, a massive, almost like a fourth wall breaking part of the song, because you are really attracted to what's going on snare, because it is busy snare. It might be straightforward snare, but it's pervasive and always snare. All right, let's go on to our next selection here. This is Judas Priest with Heading Out to the Highway. All right, so this is what actually inspired this episode. Talking with the great Stephen Reed for my Judas Priest panel book that I'm working on. I love this explanation. This is actually a you can't unhear that in a good way, right? Remember, we just did that episode, which is you can't unhear that and mostly in a bad way. But he made this this really cool point about, maybe I brought this up again in previous episode already, because I was so excited about hearing this. I thought this was really cool. So he said a cool thing about Dave Holland, especially on the Point of Entry album, is you hear him doing these simple snare fills, right? And I thought, yeah, you're right. There are a lot of those, right? And he says, when you do a fill, you got to do it like you mean it, right? And I thought, Dave Holland definitely does that here. It's almost like Dave Holland is drumming along and he says, I've got something to shout about. I got something I want to say. I'm excited about this song. I'm excited about the transition into the chorus or whatever. And you hear that on the iconic Heading Out to the Highway. You know, I think this is almost like the most magical version of that, but basically it's throughout the album. So Tom Allum gets him a nice, strong, snappy snare sound, and Dave keeps it simple. There's not a lot of toms. Like I say, it's mostly snare, and it's mostly very simple snare, and he starts those fills further back from what, the music is transitioning into, and it just sounds, again, like Steven says so eloquently, it's like he means it, right? He's playing a fill like he means it, like it really has to be there, like I want to make my voice heard because I'm excited about this band that I'm in kind of thing. So I thought that was kind of cool. Gillan Mr. Universe, now at 5:16, now there's a little bit of toms to this too, but when I thought of this episode and I think of like some of my favorite snare parts, that song is an absolute masterpiece on that second Gillan album, Mr. Universe. It's their big epic, right? What Mick Underwood does on that, he's got this just amazing big wind up snare fill sort of thing. It's one of the most magic moments in music for me. So it's around the 5:16 mark. Check that out. But he also does a lot of fills on Message in a Bottle. Born to Kill even has like a section, like almost like it's him in a break section. doing some busy snare work. So like I said, he likes the snare and it sounds really spacious and roomy when he does it. Another iconic, so this category of this this one is fills, basically, right? Another big iconic snare fill kind of situation is Cheap Trick Surrender, where Bunny Carlos winds up way ahead of time, and they're basically really simple. But again, you it's musical, right? You really feel the musicality of those snare fills, even though they're sort of simple. Husker Du is a band that has a distracting snare sound, and there's also a lot of snare in what they do. Pearl Jam Alive, this is one that Mick mentioned, and he also mentioned King Diamond Abigail, and I went and listened to them. I never would have pulled those two songs out to think about snare, but he does make a point that even though some of those snare fills are kind of short, there's definitely smart and thoughtful use of snare in both of those songs. And Creedence Clearwater Revival, Fortunate Son, Mick brought this up as well. And again, this is an example. I guess what I felt when I listened to that song again is that this is an example of a drummer who wants to who spends more of fill time on snare. Now, this brings up a good point, because most of the time a fill starts on the snare, right? So, a standard fill, starts on the snare, a couple beats there, and then maybe a couple of toms, maybe, the two rack toms or one of the rack toms down to the floor tom, hit a cymbal and bass drum at the same time, boom, you're done, right? The interesting thing with a lot of these drummers and a lot of these things I'm bringing up is that they like the snare, right? So essentially what they'll do is they'll take a little more of that bar space, no matter how long they're doing it, and they'll just spend more time on the snare rather than hit the toms or maybe not hit any toms at all. Phil Rudd can be a little bit like this too, right? Where if there's any fills at all in AC/DC, they're usually mostly snare. You don't hear a lot of toms in AC/DC. So, as opposed to a Neil Peart Neil loves snare too. I mean, there's a lot of snare. Neil just loves a lot of everything drums. But, I think of Neil Peart, the big tune toms, and Gary McCracken from Max Webster, and how you really remember that the fact that they have a lot of toms and they're beautifully tuned and all that sort of thing. So you don't feel that in AC/DC kind of thing. So, a lot of these drummers, again, the idea is that they like snare so much that they will fill up most of their fill with snare. So they'll start on snare, but they'll stay on snare longer than another drummer might, sort of thing, right? Mick pointed out Foo Fighters, Hey Johnny Park. After the double bass part, when things pick up, there's some real sort of a lot of snare from Lars in that. Queen Dragon Attack, there's a really cool snare fill in there as well. So there you go. Let's move on to our fourth selection. This is U2 with Sunday Bloody Sunday. Okay, so the category here is snare parts as integral to the beat. Maybe they aren't the whole beat, but they're kind of integral to the beat. So Sunday Bloody Sunday is almost set up as a as kind of a marching pattern that uses the whole kit, not so much toms, but bass drum and hi-hat and snare. But snare is really integral to it. So it feels like a marching beat on a kit, but snare is super important to it. Achilles Last Stand is an interesting one. There's two or three different parts where the snare is a really integral to it. There's that, and then there's the I think I got that roughly right. There's a few parts in there. Led Zeppelin, John Bonham is good at this. We could probably do a whole study on Zeppelin with this. But yeah, Achilles Last Stand has some licks, essentially, some snare licks that go in as part of the structure of the song. Bluish Occult Veteran of the Psychic Wars has that part with the where Albert does the military. We've been living on Andrade. That part is all a military snare sort of thing. So that's integral to the song. Vibrators Destroy, I don't don't know why I was thinking of the vibrators here. Cause you know, when I do these episodes, I'll like pull something up on Spotify and then I'll check a bunch of the songs sort of thing. So Destroy is kind of like that. That one goes, you know, and that's a repeating recurring pattern. So snare is important to that one. Mick brought up Death, Overactive Imagination. Yeah, this is an interesting one where there's you know, it's integral to the beat, and there's also a lot of interesting snare fills. So there's a preponderance of snare there. And then Rush the Weapon is an interesting one because it actually reminds me of Sunday Bloody Sunday. So it has, Neil Peart does a beat there where, again, you're distracted by, you know, the awkward stabs of snare in it, which is kind of similar to Sunday Bloody Sunday. And plus, there's a lot of fills there, a lot of snare fills. Motorhead 1916 with the simple thud and the marching beat situation there, which, you know, frankly, that song sounds like something from the Final Cut. And bringing up Pink Floyd, you know, it's Bring the Boys Back Home from the Wall, which is a straight military beat on a song because it's basically a wartime, you know, a World War II sort of song, right? So that straight military beat. Mastodon, Colony of Birchmen, there's a lot of snare, a lot of grace notes in here. This is another one that Mick brought up, kind of interesting. A Robert Plant Anniversary. So once this song gets going, it's almost like a Bring the Boys Back Home because the whole thing is very epic and languid military snare. Angel White Lightning. I thought I'd throw this one in here just because I was there, you know, listening to Can You Feel It? But there's a lot of snare work that seems to be a big part of the beat in that song as well. All right, let's move on to our last category here. The category is Brian Downey, because I wanted to celebrate him because I basically feel he's the master, the most beautiful snare sound. Take a listen to this. This is Thin Lizzy with Massacre. At a point below zero, there's no place left to go. 600 unknown heroes will kill like sleeping buffalo. All right, from the great Johnny the Fox album, 1976. The band had two albums in 76, Jailbreak as well, earlier in the year. But I wanted to play this one because you really get an idea of the gorgeous snare sound he gets, the gorgeous grace notes that he plays, the busyness of snare, the love of snare, snare and fills. I don't know if I got that all in my 30-second clip, but anyways, it's all there. You know, other places to listen to Brian for great snare. Soldier of Fortune has like a break section where he does straight military snare because, again, like three or four other songs I mentioned here, there's a reminder of it being like a military song, right? Bad Reputation. There is lots and lots of snare in that. But, you know, you hear great toms as well, but beautiful snare work and beautiful snare sound. Phil start on snare and they can be rapid fire. And there's the Turn Yourself Around part where you get lots and lots of like rapid fire machine gun snare in there. Boogie Woogie Dance, same thing. You get a lot of snare. So back to the Johnny the Fox album, a lot of grace note stuff. Black Rose, 1979, you get that hoedown jam part where they're doing all the different Irish songs, but there's a part there where he's doing just rapid fire single stroke roll stuff, you know, for the big kitchen party section of that song. In terms of intros, you can hear, you know, beautiful, beautiful snare sound and snare being an important part of it on Johnny the Fox Meets Jimmy the Weed. Chinatown as well. When that gets going, you hear the fade in snare, the single stroke roll. Again, I always associate that with a kind of a little bit with hardcore music, right? Well, actually, more the rolling, rumbling white wipeout sort of snare, kind of beat. Although I think on Wipeout, isn't that on Tom's? Anyways. But that thing I associate with like UK hardcore and whatnot, right? But yeah, Chinatown does the straight, you know, coming in thing. Integral to the song as well. Johnny has, parts where snare is used for punctuation and great fills on there. And The Pressure Will Blow, which I played on maybe in the last episode or the one before when we were doing the shadow thing, looking at breaks and stuff. Interesting thing about this one is... he's doing that thing where when Phil's singing, you hear kind of the shuffling constant snare, almost like the Radar Love Kickstart My Heart Ballroom Blitz thing going on Pressure Will Blow. So you hear these soft grace notes. It's kind of hard to tell, you know, it's so beautifully done and so groovy and so effortless, even though it is hard to do that. He's basically, it's hard to do because you are hitting a skin. And how softly can you do that? That's the whole idea of grace notes, right? So yeah, you're hearing that throughout. And you're also hearing a little bit of that shuffle feel and that challenging, you know, how much snare am I adding to this and how much am I spending time on a standard beat with a hi-hat? You hear a little bit of that on that same album on Leave This Town. You know, snare can be used to distracting quality on... when you have the 1 and 3 beat sort of thing, which is kind of what I call what you get in Thin Lizzy, This Is the One, right? Where the snare whacks are, you know, 1 and 3, rather than the groovy pocket version, the 2 and 4 version. So that's a way snare as well. That are a way that snare can be distracting as well. You get amazing fills. I mean, sticking with the Renegade album, which is, you know, my favorite Thin Lizzy album pretty much. Angel of Death, Fats and Mexican Blood, three very different songs from each other, but again, beautiful, beautiful use of snare and gorgeous, gorgeous recording of snare you get there of Chris Tangerides. Jailbreak, that first fill on Jailbreak. So yeah, you can tell that Brian Downey loves the snare. And again, on a standard fill that starts on snare and goes to the toms, he often will stay longer on the snare than other drummers, which I thought was good. So there you go. That is episode 232, celebrating snare drum. What else was I going to call this? I was going to call it Love That Snare Drum and the Romance of the Snare Drum and all this sort of stuff. But no, I think that captures this whole thing well. If you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to ko-fi.com/martinpopoff. Hit that red support button and buy me a coffee or pint. It's this little $3 PayPal thing, which I really appreciate. And on that front, I want to thank this week Joe Becht, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Justin Griffin, Peter Kerr, Mikolaj Lazinski, Augustin Garcia de Paredes, Steve Polari, Brian Sager, and John Stuckey. Thank you all very much. For my books, you can go to martinpopoff.com. I've got the new Kiss at 50 book, still got the David Bowie at 75. The Who, the AC/DC, got to order more of that. The Bluish Chicago panel book is still doing well. But yeah, all that's over at martinpopoff.com. You know what? For your homework, let's go right back to the first track I played here. Go play that Gillan Double Trouble album. Man, what a great album. Celebrate the great Mick Underwood.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at the RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.